have busted out. We are not in our studio today. We are live at Torrey Pines for the Farmers Insurance Open. It is a beautiful day. Had a great first hour. We had Tony Finau. We had Charlie Hoffman. And we start hour number two. Let me remind you, normally I'm in the Quicken Loans studios. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Now, if you know golf, you know this guy. If you know him, you know what he's about. But a lot of you did not until he did our podcast. And when I had an opportunity to bring Pat Perez onto this show, I knew I had to do it. Pat, dude, it is so good to see you, man. How you feeling?
I feel great. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Now, listen, you're a pro. Pro's pro. I say this respectfully. But the reason I have so much respect for you is because, and the clones, the reason they love you is because you let it rip. I want to remind you, this is not your show. This is not my podcast. You and I got to be on our best behavior. It's terrestrial radio. No F-bombs, nothing like that.
That's going to be tough for me. You know?
I was going to say, you're going to be all right.
It'll be tough. I can do it, though.
I think so. You're going to be all right. Pat Perez joining me. All right, so here we are at Torrey Pines. Now, I had Charlie Hoffman on the program, and we were talking about what it's like to be from the San Diego area and playing this tournament. He's from Poway. You're from Torrey Pines. Hi. What's it like for you to come back and play this track and play in this tournament?
Amazing. You know, I've been playing against Charlie since we were 8 years old. So, you know, unfortunately, I've seen him get uglier and uglier every day. But we love coming back here. This is our favorite event. I mean, you know, the crowd, the town, everything's just amazing. The tournament, Farmers, the whole tournament's amazing. You know, this is definitely my fifth major. I mean, I'm sure Charlie said the same thing.
Pat Perez, my guest. Now, more specifically, this is the course that you used to work at when you were a teenager. You take the bus over from Cardiff. It's the course where you said that you were, quote, wiping down carts or kissing ass to another foursome for some extra cash.
That's it.
All right, so, I mean, that's it. So does it feel completely normal that you're now here teeing it up in PGA Tour events? Or on some levels, this thing kind of still a little bit surreal?
Nah, it's kind of both. You know, I've been doing it so long now. It's my 18th year, so I'm more used to it. But when I come back here, I always have the memories of what I used to do. And, you know, of course, I don't know if I told you on the podcast, but when I got my card the first time, it was with the first year they changed the course. So I knew every blade of grass.
You did not tell that story. Go ahead.
I knew every blade of grass. I knew every slow. I knew everything. I knew every break of the green. And, of course, the first year I get my card in 02, they changed the course. And now I'm like, I got out of here. I go, what the hell happened here? I mean, I knew everything. And all of a sudden now there's like 800 more yards and the course is hard. I go, oh, boy, this is going to be tough. But, no, I have so many great memories being here. And, you know, it's so awesome to come back here.
Pat Perez joining me here at Torrey Pines. One more detail from back in the day. When you were caddying, John Daly handed you his Cobra Ultra Mid with the red titanium shaft and the Kevlar face. What was it like getting your hands on that thing for the first time? And then how does that compare to the clubs that you're swinging right now?
Oh, it couldn't be any more different. You know, I caddied for a guy that was in John's group, and it was in 92, and he just won, obviously, the PGA there. And, you know, it was unbelievable. John was the biggest thing going in the game right now at that time, and it was so cool to be in his group. And someone said, hey, this guy swings like you, and he hits it like you. He goes, all right, well, let me see it. So, you know, we get on number 8 on there in the north, and he goes, all right, I want to see it. I've heard about it. I want to see it. And he, you know, he was about 20 yards behind me, and I, you know, and I, no, but I mean off the tee, right. And I hit, and I was just past him, okay. Off the tee. So it was unbelievable. John's been like a brother ever since I got out here, and it's to go back to think that when I met him when I was 15 and then get on tour and be able to hang out with him is so amazing.
Pat, give me a good JD story, one that you can tell on this show.
I can't tell on this show. There's none.
None? No. None?
I had lunch with John one day.
That's a great story, bro. That's an amazing story.
There's none other that I can tell you.
Are there no stories that you can clean up on this show about JD? I mean, if it's not there, don't force it. But
no, there's plenty there. I remember waking up. I always used to have a party at my house, and I woke up. I actually didn't wake up. I rolled over on my bed, and he was just to the right of me right here. And he had an empty bottle of Crown, a handle of the Crown, at like 5:30 in the morning. And I looked at him, I said, John, what the hell are you doing? You know, Bubba, you know, I got to play that Pro-Am at 7:20. I said, you might want to get in your Hummer and get out of here. His Hummer was parked on my rock, almost knocked over my cactus. It was parked sideways in my yard.
Incredible.
This guy's incredible. I mean, I got a million stories, unfortunately, that I can't really tell. But
so you can come back on the podcast.
Yes.
Or I'll go on your show.
We'll do some on that.
We'll do it.
We'll do that.
Listen, if golf is the hardest thing in the world, what's golfing hungover like? How hard is that?
The worst. I used to do it all the time. I can't do it anymore. I just literally can't do it anymore. It's, you know, at 40, I'll be 43 in a month. It's impossible to do it now. Can't do it.
You know, Pat, it used to be like, and I'm older than you, it used to be that when you got after it, it was always worth it. No matter what. Everything's worth it. No matter what, it's worth it. No matter what, it is worth it. Now it's never worth it.
It's never worth it.
What happened to us?
Especially now with a screaming baby. Yeah, now that I got a screaming baby that's up at 11:30, 1, 3:30, and 5, trying to get smashed. I mean, I try to get smashed between like 2 and 7 now in the afternoon.
You got to schedule it.
Yeah, so then I can put her to bed, and then I actually get like 5 hours of sleep before I'm up all night. So that's all changed. But no, it's never worth it anymore to do it.
Pat Perez joining us. Now, something else about back in the day. When you came here, you used to roll up in tournaments with clubs that did not fit wearing high-top Reeboks. How would you describe that look back in the day? And tell me you were going with the pumps back in the day.
No, it Reebok was the pumps. I couldn't afford the pumps. It was that Reebok. It looked like a women's shoe, but it wasn't. It was the Reebok high-top. I can't remember what the hell it was called, but I had those, and, you know, I had this. I had a company called Montecito that was, giving me a discount on clothes, and I was able to wear those during Junior World when I won, but... No, we didn't have a whole lot. I got a lot of my stuff from here at Torrey.
Uh-huh.
And when I won Junior World, I had a friend, Mike Padilla. He had these beautiful, brilliant ping clubs that he let me use. And when I won, he gave them to me. And, you know, I couldn't afford the grips on them, but that was pretty cool.
You know, we talked about this on the podcast. You grew up with Charlie Hoffman, but you grew up with Tiger as well. I mean, you've known him a long, long time.
Yeah.
You guys played the junior circuit together, and then you beat him down. You beat him by 8 strokes
the last
at
time
Torrey.
It's happened.
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often. You won the junior world title in 93 when you were a senior in high school. You beat him by 8 strokes. What do you remember about that day, and how did that feel?
I remember, you know, I wasn't really worried about him because he was so far back, believe it or not. I've never been able to say that, but that was the one day where he was behind me. And, of course, you know, Tiger was he was so unbelievable. I played against him. We talk about it all the time, you know, at Presidio Hills, and then we went to Mission Trails, and then we went to Balboa, and then we went to, you know, and then we came here, and he was going for his 8th title, and he was the guy of the guy in junior world. I mean, it was no question about it. But I had played this course so many times. I played it every day in the summer until the tournament came. So I knew everything I was going to do, and I couldn't have been any more prepared to play it. So I think I had a little more of an advantage there, even though he was the best. But that was incredible. I saw Tiger yesterday. I talked for about 20 minutes. He looks phenomenal.
What do you make of where he was a year ago and where he is right now?
Incredible.
And did you see that happening? I mean, this is a different cat now. I understand
no,
that.
And I said that. I said I was in Singapore a year ago when I said, they interviewed me. I said, what do you think about Tiger? I said, you know, guys, I said, he looks phenomenal. He's got the speed. He looks like he can swing. He's not in pain. I said, the biggest thing, he's not in pain. What I think would happen to him with his back surgeries is he had all these surgeries and the guys missed. And then finally the last one, when they fused it, they got it right. You know, the mental part of him has always been the strongest of anybody I've ever seen. So that was not the question. When you physically can't do it, I might pull out last week from a hangnail. You know, I mean, that's how much puts
right.
I am. You know, but this guy, you know, he had all these back surgeries, knee surgeries. You know, he just couldn't physically do it. So they asked me, so what do you think? I said, with his speed and with his knowledge of the game and everything, I said, there's two things going to happen. This is exactly a year ago. I said, he's going to make the Ryder Cup team, and he's going to win a tournament. And both things happen. And after that, nobody
all right,
said
anything. So you called that perfectly. What do you think is going to happen to him this year? If you've got to make another prediction for that guy this year, what would it be?
Well, there's two major courses I think he's really going to do well on this year, which is obviously Augusta, which he's won 4 times. And I actually think he's going to win at Pebble because he owns Pebble. And he's going to be healthy. He knows how to play his Open there because he won by 15. You know, I see the same kind of thing happening. I've called him to win 2 majors, and those are the two. I think he's going to win the Masters and the U.S. Open.
Pat Perez joining me live. We're at Torrey Pines. Hey, Pat, you and I talked about this on the pod, but I think it's important enough to reset right here. This is one of my favorite parts of our conversation. Look, I'm not a fanboy. I don't play favorites. They pay me not to play favorites. That said, Anthony Kim is one of my favorite athletes ever. Not one of my favorite golfers, one of my favorite athletes. Not one of my favorite athletes, one of my favorite people. He's golf's most mysterious dude.
Yes, he
explodes
is.
On the scene. He runs red hot, and then he disappears, seemingly never to be seen or ever heard from before. What was your relationship with him like? And what was he like as a dude and a player back in the day?
Player-wise, he was unbelievable. He was one of the best I've ever seen. I think he would have been still the top probably guy under 35 right now. In my opinion, I think he would have won some majors. I think he'd be right there with Rory, you know, having close to 4 majors. I think he would have been amazing. You know, you saw how he was at the Ryder Cup. That's just the way he was. You know, the guy's been over on his own here since he was 16. You know, but he's, like you said, he's hot. He doesn't listen to anybody. He kind of does his own thing. And...
Does that sound familiar, Pat?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
But, no, I got along with Anthony great, and then we got into some heat one day, and we got into a fight, and then we it was all good. It's like, I don't know, it's like a mutual respect after that. Maybe like because somebody actually stood up to him, which is why maybe he still talks to me. But
how'd the fight start? What were you guys doing?
We were just jawing on the putting green. We had we were jawing, and then the jawing got a little bit more somehow.
It got personal, probably.
Yeah, it got personal, and then there was some... You know, there was some race thrown in there, back and forth a little bit, which I didn't really appreciate. But, you know, there was some mother stuff in there. And
He threw some race at you?
Yeah, it was both. Yeah, it was that. He threw it at me, and then it was like, you know.
And then your moms were brought up.
Yeah, and then that was brought up. And, it got hot. This is all 5 minutes before I'm getting ready to tee off at Colonial. And this is like where we're at. I go, man, this little bastard. And then
did you give my dude the hands?
No, no. And then you know, later on, we talked about it. We got and we're cool. We've been cool for about 5 years now. It's been awesome. I talk to him all the time.
Pat Perez joining us. So what's he doing? If you talk to him all the time, what is that guy up to?
He's not doing anything. He's got like seven dogs now. He built a new house in Dallas. He's just hanging out. He's chilling. He's a dog guy. Yeah, he's got like, he said he's got a drink. He's got some medical sales, medical stuff doing. He's got some stuff in career going. He said he's doing unbelievable. He's like, you couldn't pay me to come back to the tour.
Wow. So he's good. He's fine.
He wants nothing to do with it. Doesn't care.
He's got his dogs. He's got his dough. He's fine.
Doesn't care.
Now, when you talk about adversity and physical things, a lot of people thought your career might be over back in 2016.
Me too.
When you had that torn labrum, what did it teach you being away from the game? What did you learn about yourself and the sport?
Well, I learned a lot about, not really about myself. It was, you know, I had full stress when I came back because I only had 15 starts. So, you know, like I told you in the podcast, Callaway dropped me, so now, but at least they dropped me early enough that where I could get some new stuff. So I called up my boy TaylorMade and Titleist, and then I called up Matt Rollins to get some get a set of PXGs, and you know I got all those, and we hit them all, and you know then Callaway came back with some little offer, and my caddy goes, you know, you're out of your mind. He goes, your equipment is so much better, you're so much better with this stuff, you're out of your mind if you go back for that little number and use the stuff on the fourth quarter because you only got 15 starts. And I wind up, you know, making $1.6 million in those four starts and winning. And, you know, and then I get on PXG staff, and it's the best thing that's ever happened to me. The whole thing that's happened the last 2.5 years, I can't even get over. I would have never been able to think that in March 8th when I had surgery, coming out of there, sleeping in a sling on the couch for a month, and then going to Malaysia, I got a spot from Todd Reinhardt, which, you know, the funny thing is if I hadn't gotten that start, I don't know if I would have started that year. Huh. I wouldn't have started there. I might have waited till Sony, which would then cost me a win and all that cash. A 2-year exemption, all that kind of stuff. The whole way it played out, I can't even describe it because I didn't really think about it at the time. I think about it now. But, no, I did not think coming out of that surgery that this was all going to happen.
So how did you do that? How did that
just
thing
go
your way?
Just hard work. When I got out of surgery, when I started swinging, I could really only swing one way. Because to protect my shoulder, I had to take all the impact out. I used to be a real deep digger in the ground and that kind of stuff. Now I'm trying to hit more up on it to take the pressure off my shoulder and my elbow because I can't go down after it. I don't want to screw up that shoulder again. So miraculously, I started hitting it kind of higher and not as far, but straighter. And then my short game got better, and I just worked on my putting a lot. And, you know, to go from surgery March 8th to never know if you're going to swing a golf club again and then win in November
and then
have a happy Christmas is like
That's
I would
incredible.
Never, ever even thought that could be done in 1 year.
Pat Perez, my guest, and you're repping G-Rod on your shirt this week. For those who do not know, who was Greg and what kind of an impact did he have on you in your life?
Yeah, my boy Greg Rodriguez, he killed himself this year, or last year. You know, I've known Greg so long, about 30 years now, and you know, he was part of the crew. He was our crew when he came out. Every time we hung out with him, we saw him at the track. We always hung out with him. He was, you know, one of my brother's best friends, and you know, he got on the piss one night, and he just had enough. You know, but there was kind of some signs earlier that you know he kind of mentioned it, but you know, nobody ever thought really anything serious of it. But he did. He took a shotgun and blew his head off, and I got the call from my boy Chris, and I was like, "You got to be kidding me, man! That's it was tragic. You know, it was tragic, and his family's devastated, and all of his friends and everything. It's unbelievable. You know, you see all these celebrities and all these things killing stuff, but it doesn't really hit you until one of these guys hits you, and they're your people. I mean, you know, the only thing I can tell you is anybody out there that if you ever even see a sign, if you ever hear of anybody say, "Oh, I'm off myself" or anything, take it seriously because I've never said that, and none of my other friends have said that. He mentioned a couple of times, we didn't think anything of it. And then he gets so drunk. I mean, you know, his BAC was 0.34. Mm. You know, so, you know, all I can tell you is if anybody's got problems out there, that is not the answer. It just is not the answer. It is not that bad to where you got to take it. Because for me, it's the most selfish act you can make. Because now you've left it on your parents, your siblings, could be a wife, could be your kids, could be anything. It's just the impact of it is something that they don't understand because they're gone. But the impact for the family and the friends is amazing. It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to profess to know what he or anybody else in that situation is going through. I mean, obviously in a really bad way, if you're doing that.
Yeah.
Obviously a really, really bad way. I would imagine that when you look at something like that, that's something probably you and the family, you never really get over. You just hope to get beyond or get through,
right?
Yeah,
you hope to get beyond. I can tell us if anybody's got that problem, please call somebody. Just call a family. Because anybody, if you go to somebody... If you have any real people in your life and you go to them with a real problem, they will stop everything they're doing at that minute and try to help you.
You bet.
Guaranteed. So please Don't take that action. Call somebody. Get help. There's all kinds of stuff out there. That is not the end that anybody needs to go through. And it's really sad. And we miss Greggy. And, you know, I'm going to have G-Rod on my shirt this week. And all our friends will be out here to kind of, you know, we'll be able to tell stories and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I'm really kind of playing with a heavy heart for him this week, being back in town and not being able to see him. So
I appreciate your thoughts on that, Pat. That is tough. So last thought, when you consider where you were physically after the torn labrum, you know how the tour goes, man. Nothing is guaranteed. Nothing is guaranteed. You got to keep grinding and keep producing or you're gone. Looking at that, how much pride do you take in the fact that year in and year out, man, you're still here?
No, I
can't
believe it. Yeah, I'm not the guy that's supposed to be out here every year. You know, I was supposed to be, when I got kicked off the ASU team, I was supposed to be a garbage man. So I think I've done pretty well compared to a lot of the guys that were supposed to be tour stars. And, you know, I'm a grinder. I grind it out. I know what I want. You know, I got to work a lot harder than some of these guys. You know, Justin Thomas, Tiger Woods, these guys, you know, don't get me wrong, they work hard, but they have a lot of talent, a lot of gift. My game's not really that way. I got to work hard to kind of fight with these guys. So, you know, I love it. I look back and I think, man, this is my 18th year in a row. I can't believe. I would have never dreamed that this would all have been my way, you know, coming up on 43 years old. But I don't take it for granted. I love it. You know, I've got a lot of, you know, great comments from people out there and, you know, support and all that kind of stuff. I never thought that would happen. I just, you know, thank everybody that's been in my circle and everybody that's, you know, supported me forever.
Hey, Pat, I'll be straight. This is a great conversation. This is a great conversation, but not as good as the one you and I had on my pod because you could do you and be you. Did you get any reaction from the clones, from my listeners? What did they say? Because I don't think all of them knew who you were, what you were about, and they do now.
They do. It was awesome. I got great response from a lot of people that listened to your show. It was cool. I had some people that never heard of me. I had some people that had heard of me, but you know, they don't realize that that's just the way I am. I'm just a normal guy. I happen to be able to play golf for a living. You know, I can make some money doing it. But I'm a normal guy. I'm like everybody else. I'm a dad now. I don't sleep anymore. You know, I like to drink. I like to hang out with my friends. I like to party. You know. I'm just like everybody else. I just kind of let my hair down a little bit more, kind of literally. But you know, I let my hair down a little bit more than most.
Pat, you're a normal guy, but you're an extraordinary bleep talker. All right?
Yes.
Let's be straight about that. So your show, really quickly, when is your radio show on? Where do they find it?
Tuesday nights, SiriusXM, channel 92, 8 p.m. to 10 Eastern on Tuesday nights. It's on live. Call in. Anybody call in? We got all kinds of topics we bring up. It's called out of bounds because we get so far off topic of golf that.
Give me an example. How far out of bounds?
It could be anything. I mean, we have guys calling in, you know, well, remember the Tiger pictures and all that kind of stuff?
Sure.
We had people go so far off the deep end with these chicks and what they thought about Lindsay and all this. I'm like, guys, you know, this is. We got to kind of try to get back to the rough over here, okay? If we can a little bit.
Why, man? Play out of bounds.
No, we did, though, but that's what we do. That's what people love about our show is we'll get on a topic, and we can stay on there for 2 hours, but we get all kinds of people to call in because it's not just about, oh, did you see him make that putt? You know, I don't care about the putt, okay? I really don't care about even talking about golf, but, you know, we get some of that, and we get some of the other. So
yeah, the show's great until golf comes up.
Yeah.
Well, why does golf keep getting in the way of your program?
Well, the number one thing is people always want to talk about Tiger. That's the number one thing that every Tuesday we get more people calling it about Tiger, which I get. Don't get me wrong.
I was going to say, Pat, so where do you come out on that? Last thought, where do you come out on that? Because you're the first guy to say this. You know he has made so many guys so much money and brought so many eyeballs to it. I know you respect that. I know you appreciate
that. Everybody does.
But if that's all they want to talk about, does it get old?
Nah, it does. It does a little bit, you know, because there's so many young players that we could talk about now, you know, and – you know, talking about Tiger is like talking about, you know, the sun being up in San Diego. It's all the time. You know, it happens all the time. You know it's fantastic. You know it's going to be great. I mean, everybody knows, you know, that they should thank Tiger for being born and you know, they should. I mean, all of us out here, we would never have this kind of money to play for and all these things that came our way if it wasn't for that guy. And just thank God I happen to be the same age of him, you know, so I could reap the benefits. I said that, but...
And you beat him by 8 strokes. Yeah. As a senior in high school.
The one time.
They can't take that from you.
The 26-year anniversary. But, you know.
How did you celebrate the 25th anniversary of that beatdown? Is that gold? Is that silver? Is that tequila? What is that?
I don't know. It's always screwdrivers. Always the same. I'm on this 44 North kick.
Tell me.
So
what's
it's
that
44
like?
North Huckleberry Vodka, and I mix it with Sunny D. And it's like drinking Kool-Aid. It's nothing. The problem is you can go through a bottle and not even know it. Then all of a sudden,
right?
About 5 minutes, you know it.
I remember the first time I went to New Orleans, and I went to Patty O'Brien's.
They were
selling the Hurricanes, and I'm like, this is a joke. What's all the hype? What's all the hype?
Yeah.
You have one, I'll take another one. It's just Kool-Aid, and then you're in a gutter.
You lay down, and you're in a hurricane.
Right.
You gotta call them the spins, the tornado.
He was an NCAA champion at Arizona State, a 2 top 10 or in 5 tournaments since October. Pat Perez joining us here on location. Pat, I appreciate you. The podcast was absolutely amazing. This was a blast, too.
Let's do another one.
Thank you very
one.
Much. Let's do it again.
Let's do the podcast. Boys are ready.
You got it, Pat. Good seeing you, man. Thank you.
Too. Thank you.
Pat freaking Perez, if you need him. And he's back home.